Coming up in this episode of My Michigan Story, life in the Great Lakes State.
Robin, breathe, Robin.
County 911.
Hi, my wife is gonna have her baby right now.
Okay, we'll get the ambulance right there. Stay on the line with me, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Rocco Busey's Lamaze classes really pay off when he's forced to preside over the delivery of his son at his home in his living room with the coaching of a 911 operator. Jonah throws some shade at Kinley's mom.
Kinley's mom started screaming because she, like, hates anything.
And at 3 years old, Ryan discovers the hard truth that he is, in fact, not Superman.
I remember thinking, I can jump from that couch to the other couch, and I'll be fine. I'm Superman.
It's a Boy, up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. If you've listened to a previous episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, you know that our tagline is that I can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. Well, I thank goodness that our next storyteller understood that I really do mean that and contacted me with his story. Rocco Busey emailed me at story@mymichiganstory.com, that's story@mimichiganstory.com, to let me know that he had some stories for the show, and it made my week because I know the only way this show will survive is if you, dear listener, send me your stories. At the time of this story, Rocco's wife Robin was very pregnant with their second child. Typically, second children are delivered more quickly than the firstborns, but in this case, the speed of the whole process caught everyone off guard. He shared this story with me over the phone from his home in Eaton Rapids. And I want to preface this story by saying that includes his 911 call for help. Contrary to what I imagine happens in a typical 911 call, this 911 call is really wonderful and everything turns out okay in the end, so don't worry about that, all right? I know hearing a 911 call can be kind of traumatic for some people, but this one is awesome and no babies, moms, or dads were harmed in the telling of the story, any more than they're harmed in the normal process of childbirth, at least. All right, here's Rocco.
This is on August 7th, 1991.
Oh, wow, 1991, okay.
Robin woke me up about, I would say around 2:30. Hey, it's time. Okay. So we called, used to be a hospital in Pennsylvania called Lansing General. And so we called, we talked to the nurse, and she goes, oh, yeah, sounds like you got some time, blah, blah, blah. So I went, and I took a shower, and my wife says, it's happening. I go, yeah, I know. She goes, now. And I'm like, now? She goes, yeah, now. And that's when I called 911. Robin, breathe, Robin.
County 911.
Hi, my wife is gonna have her baby right now.
Okay, we'll get the ambulance right there. Stay on the line with me, okay?
Okay, no problem. Okay, I'm gonna talk to my wife at the same time.
Okay.
What's the situation when you call? Because it sounds like she's standing up in the living room, like, and she's dressed. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And eventually, we got her on the floor to lay down and get her pants and everything off.
Right.
Yeah, she was standing up after she'd gone to the bathroom and her wire broke.
Oh, my goodness.
On the toilet, all of a sudden, I can remember it, Rob, as clear as I'm talking to you, that all of a sudden, it was just this big gush, you know, and I'm sure women that have had babies, a lot of them will tell you the same thing. It was a gush, and all of a sudden, you know, her water broke. Here comes a baby.
Stay calm.
Robin, don't push whatever you do. Come on.
Come on over here.
Uh-oh, did you hear that?
Well, on the way.
Come on, Rob. Don't push.
One thing that was interesting to me is that you're telling Robin not to push. Why were you telling her not to push?
Because we didn't want the baby to come up.
I see. So you're telling her, fight that instinct because you got to buy a little time.
Yeah, well, come on, paramedics, get here, man.
Yeah, right.
Being a professional here, not...
Right.
My wife, Robin, she was just freaking out. And it's understandably so. We're having a baby, you know, and it's like right here on the living room floor.
Okay, how long has she been in labor?
How long have you been in labor? Not very. We know that, and that's right. She said she can feel it now.
Okay.
Don't push, Robin. Don't push.
Well, we're breathing down a little there.
Yeah. Robin, listen to me. Listen to me. Focus.
Focus.
His head is right here.
Focus.
You think I'm kidding?
No, I know you're not kidding. I know you're not. Okay,
look at me.
Right now.
Open your eyes and look at me.
She says to you, do you think I'm kidding? Is this something she would like joke with you about?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously I did. You think I'm kidding? Yeah.
So she just wants to be clear. She is not, this is not a prank. She's messing with you.
Not a prank. It was not a prank. He was dead serious.
Breathe.
You want to sit down? Robin, you want to sit down? Come on.
Come on over here. Come on, one step at a time. That's the new girl. Come on, Robin. Come on, Robin.
Just sit down right here.
You want to sit down?
Right
here.
How far apart are her contractions?
Now, I would say they're only like a minute.
Okay, how long has this been going on?
Not very long, because she just woke me up a half hour ago.
Okay.
Well,
at least a half an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because she just broke her water like 5 minutes ago.
What's going through your mind in this? Can you remember what was going through your mind in the whole process?
Not really.
Put your hand right here.
I can't.
Put it right there.
Okay. She says the head is showing.
Okay.
Oh, yep. The paramedics are on their way. They're coming right from the hospital right now. They'll be here in what, 2 minutes? 3 minutes? I would think. No more than five?
No more than. They should be pulling up there within the next minute or two.
Okay. I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. See, we're in the line.
Okay. I will. How you feeling? How's it going? This is really quick.
This was Robin's second child.
Yes.
And now the firstborn was a girl?
Yeah, Jennifer. Yeah. In fact,
okay.
She was in labor for, I would say, 30 hours, and they had to induce her with Pitocin, you know, to get Jennifer out.
Right.
Obviously, they didn't have to induce her this time.
So you all were maybe kind of expecting a little bit of a longer labor based on how long the first birth was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't think it would be 30 minutes.
From 20 hours in the first one.
How old is your wife?
My wife is 30.
Okay, is this her first baby?
Second
baby?
Yeah, really. That's really caught by surprise. Don't take your pants off yet.
Diane, second baby.
I believe it.
Broke about 5 minutes ago.
I believe it.
Heavy contractions for the past half an hour.
Okay, I believe you. Okay, the paramedics will be here any minute. You got another one coming? Huh? You feel another one coming? If we didn't have this plan, we could do this at home, huh? Wait.
Okay.
Okay, all right, look at me. Focus. Rhythm breathing. Two. God, we're going to do this now.
Minutes of
it's cutting from my pants.
Uh-oh.
It's here. She thinks it's here.
It is.
Don't panic.
Rocco?
What, yes.
Have her lay down.
Lay down,
Robin.
Okay,
lay down.
Do you think you can handle...
No,
you just broke your...
No. Yeah, it's here.
Okay, tell me what to do.
Okay.
Lay down, Robin.
We'll be back in a moment with more from the Busey family's unplanned home birth in a moment. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. My Michigan Story is presented by WKR in East Lansing. You can listen live to new episodes of the show on the first Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. on WKAR FM 90.5 and streaming at WKAR.org. Have you got a great true story from Michigan you'd like to share with My Michigan Story? Well, I would love to hear it. All you have to do is email me at story@mymichiganstory.com to let me know that you've got a story or stories to share, and I'll give you a call. Again, that's story@mymichiganstory.com. People often ask me what kind of stories I'm looking for, and the main criteria are that it has to be true and it has to have happened in Michigan. The story can be funny, sad, heartfelt, whatever. I prefer when the stories are told by the person who experienced them, but that's flexible if the person is no longer with us. The stories don't need to be stereotypically Michigan stories or anything like that. As long as the story is entertaining and happened in Michigan, I'm interested. I'm also currently looking for venues that would be interested in hosting a My Michigan Story open mic storytelling event. I'm happy to travel anywhere in the state to host an event. In particular, I'm looking for venues in East Lansing and Kalamazoo right now. So if you know a coffee shop, bookstore, bar, gallery, whatever, that would be interested in hosting an event, please let me know. You can message me through our website, mymichiganstory.com. That's also where you can hear about our upcoming open mic live events, subscribe to our e-newsletter, learn about the history of the show, and listen to previous episodes of our podcast as well. If you're enjoying My Michigan Story, you might also like our sister podcast called Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. Hear about what life in Alaska is really like from the Alaskans who live there. Dark Winter Nights started way back in 2014, and we've got tons of episodes available on our podcast for your road trip or binge listening pleasure. The New York Times called Dark Winter Nights the best winter podcast for storytelling lovers. You can find Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, wherever you get your podcasts. There's more information at darkwinternights.com. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the It's a Boy episode. I'm Rob Prince. When we left our story, it was August 1991, and Rocco's wife, Robin, was in the process of giving birth on the living room floor while Rocco was on the line with 911. I spoke to him on the phone from his home in Eaton Rapids.
Did you feel like you had some preparation for this moment?
Not at home.
Right. I but mean, the general birth process.
Yeah, you know, because that was our second time taking the class. And I thought first time I was a lot more prepared. And I said, second one, you know, it's not going to be as bad, blah, blah, blah. And obviously that is wrong.
Okay. We got a sheet. I'm putting the sheet underneath. Okay. Okay.
Nathan.
Okay.
Okay, Rocco?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, tell me what's going on.
Okay, the head is halfway out.
Okay.
Okay. It's starting to roll. It's turned. The head is facing my right hand.
Okay, the head's facing your right hand?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, hang on for just... Can you...
Can I what?
Okay, how is the baby's face? Can you clean the mucus and everything off?
I can try, yeah. Yep.
Okay, one, two. Okay.
Okay.
Just let...
It's coming more. Whole head is out.
Okay.
Here comes its shoulder.
Okay.
Okay. It's out.
Okay, don't drop it.
Okay.
At one point, the 911 operator says, don't drop it.
Yeah, she's talking about Eric.
Yeah, she's like, don't drop the baby. Were you worried about dropping Eric?
I wasn't worried. You know what? It was either going to be on Robin or on me. And we weren't letting go. We weren't going to let go.
Okay.
I got it in my arms.
Okay.
Here, Robin. Okay, what do you want me to do now?
Okay, I want
to. Okay, tell me what to do.
Oh my God, it's a boy!
It's a boy. It's a boy.
There.
He's not.
It's delivered.
you didn't know the sex of the baby until that moment.
Actually, honestly, I was hoping for a girl. But, you know, at the end, it all worked out in the end.
Come right to the door. I don't think it's breathing.
Okay, you want to make sure you clean out the mucus out of the face. And clean the
mucus out of the face.
Right. Get the airway open.
Get the door.
They're here.
Oh, they're here. Okay, they're here. Okay.
Rocco, don't hang up.
On that.
Young
on that.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know. Okay.
Rocco, do you hear it?
Do you hear it?
Oh, God.
I knew this was going to happen.
Okay.
It was a joy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
The ambulance was outside.
Yep, I can see you out.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't do anything more. Just hold the baby, okay?
All right. I am.
Eric is born and he's not breathing. What's going through your mind, and what do you do to get him to breathe?
His chest is in my hand and I start shaking a little bit. You know, I'm trying to clean them as the dispatcher was telling me, trying to clean the mucus off his face and out of his nose and everything. And that's when he's breathing.
That cry.
Yeah.
That's when I lost it listening to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's so much fear and stuff, yeah. And you hear that cry, and you just feel this release of tension, and it's, you can hear in your and Robin's voice too, just the joy and excitement.
Come on in.
And now
okay. All right. Rob, this is fast. This is really fast.
Come on in. Come on in.
Okay.
Rocco,
Maddie.
Do you have anything to wrap the baby in?
We have something to wrap the baby. Keep it warm. I got a blanket right. There's a blanket right there.
Okay.
Maddie, get out of the way.
That's my dog.
Yep.
Stay right beside home, okay?
I will. I'm sitting here. Well, the paramedic got a blanket. Okay. Keep him right there so the have.
Okay. Okay.
You want to take over? You're here.
Keep talking.
Oh, they're compliant. Cool, all right. Okay.
Okay, we got the baby.
They got the baby. The police got the baby.
Okay, the ambulance is not there yet?
Yeah. The ambulance isn't here?
It's right behind.
It's right behind them, they said. We got the full chair.
You got the boy.
Yep.
Thanks.
I knew it.
Thanks, officer.
Okay.
Just let you see right here.
Yep, hopefully. You hear him crying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything looks good.
Everything
looks good, they said. The police officer said.
Well, congratulations, Rocco.
Thank you
very much. Robin, you want to lay down?
You're a pillow for it.
Here's another one. You okay, there?
Yes.
What's that?
I got
too much going on. I can barely hear you. Oh, here comes the lady now. Come on in.
Paramedic.
Pull it out, you silly dog.
What is your dog doing in all this? Because in the call, I hear you telling your dog to, like, get out of here.
When people start coming in, she goes after her, you know.
Oh, she's being defensive.
Yeah, right. She's being protective, you know, and then you hear me getting after her.
I mean, this was really quick. What did you call the hospital a half hour ago?
There's two, it's three paramedic. You still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, now what?
Okay, you're all set. Let them take over.
Okay.
Good
thank
job.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well,
what happens once the call ends?
The paramedics, you know, they take over. They try to figure out how they're going to get the gurney in the house. And they got to move the couch. And here's my wife, half naked. And she's more about what's under the couch than her
Right. She's worried about what Oreos and little toys are jamming there.
And we went to the hospital and she stayed there. That was, I think, Wednesday. August 7th was a Wednesday. We came home Thursday.
Did you get the sense that this was kind of a big deal too, the 911 operator? Yeah.
I want to say it might have been like a week later. She did come over, and of course, she gave us the tape, and we sat for a while, and she got to hold Eric. So yeah, it was a really nice visit. I remember her telling us that people were crying.
Really? At the 911 operator's off booth?
Yes, because it was such a joyful event.
Wow. And I imagine there they don't get too many joyful events, so this must have been really powerful for them.
What is Eric up to now?
He just turned 34.
Oh my gosh. Right.
That's amazing.
Recently, I came across his birth certificate for some reason. The attending person on it is me.
Wow. That's great. Did this experience change you as a person? Do you feel like, wow, if I can do that, like, did it change your confidence or like your, what you felt like you were capable of this in this world?
Not really. No, seriously, not really. I think I was just in the right place at the right time, you know, and I had to do what had to be done.
Rocco Busey. He shared that story with me over the phone from his home in Eaton Rapids. Please, please, please follow the lead of Rocco and send me your true story from Michigan right now at story@mymichiganstory.com or visit our website at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. That's also where you can find out where our next live open mic events will be. Subscribe to our e-newsletter, listen to past episodes of the show on our podcast, and more. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the It's a Boy episode. I'm Rob Prince. Little kids don't have a lot of tools at their disposal when it comes to getting their way with adults. They haven't yet learned the fine art of debate. They gain little leverage from going on strike or boycotting, and holding their breath has never quite been the mic drop moment they hoped it would be. And even though I certainly don't condone it, it's no wonder that they sometimes find themselves with no alternatives but to resort to the use of force, as in the case of our next storyteller. Jonah shared this story with My Michigan Story producer, Leah Gooding, who also happens to be his babysitter, about the time he didn't get what he wanted from his mom, so he abandoned diplomacy and went on the attack, only to create a little more spectacle than he had intended. Here's Jonah with this story from Caledonia, Michigan.
This takes us back 4 years ago to when I was 5-ish. And so we're in my kitchen, and I ask my mom if I can have candy. She says no. And then I get really angry and I ask her again, louder, and she says no. And then I ask her one more time and then she says no even more. And then I start pounding the wall and I have a wiggly tooth this whole time. And then I walk up to her and bite her knee and my tooth falls out. And now there's blood everywhere. And on my mom's pants, and she starts yelling and crying. And then Kinley's mom started screaming because she, like, hates anything. And that was a huge catastrophe.
So did you learn your lesson about biting your mom?
No.
No? Have you bitten your mom since?
Yes.
Okay.
Jonah. He shared that story with My Michigan Story producer, Leah Gooding, who also interviewed our next and final storyteller, Ryan, whom she babysits as well. He shared this story about that painful and universal experience we all have when we discover that we are, in fact, not Superman. Here's Ryan.
I was 3, and we were just coming to Michigan. We were at my grandma's house, my family and I. And, of course, when you're 3, you think you're Superman. So I had 2 couches down in my grandma's basement, and my sisters had built a, quote, pillow fort. And so I was like, okay, I can jump from this couch to the other couch, and if I don't make it, I'll land on the pillow fort and be fine. Because, again, I was 3. I remember thinking through this. And so I jumped, and I totally missed, and I landed on the pillow fort, which was not a pillow fort. It was 3 stools with a blanket over them, and I broke my maxilla because I whacked my head on it, and my lucky tooth went flying across the room, and so did my 2 front teeth. So, yeah, I had to go to the hospital after that.
So you remember that from 3 years old?
Actually, yes, I do. I remember thinking, I can jump from that couch to the other couch, and I'll be fine. I'm Superman.
Do you remember hurting a lot?
Actually, not really. I don't remember what I felt. I remember what I thought.
Okay. Wow. Well, thanks, guys. Those were great stories.
That was Ryan. He shared that story with My Michigan Story producer, Leah Gooding. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State, the It's a Boy episode. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince, and produced by Leah Gooding and myself. My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State is presented by WKAR in East Lansing, Michigan. My Michigan Story would love to come host a Michigan storytelling event in your community. Whether it's at a coffee shop, art gallery, bar, library, whatever, I'll gladly make the trip anywhere in Michigan to hear your community's true stories from Michigan. So far, I've traveled to Farmington, Wyandotte, and Jonesville and love the stories folks there have had to share with me. You'll be hearing more stories from all those locations in future episodes of the show. I'm a one-man band and bring with me everything I need to put on the show, including mics and a speaker. All I need is a corner to set up in and some folks to show up. Shoot me a message at story@mymichiganstory.com and we'll work something out. Thanks. Remember, I can't make My Michigan Story without your Michigan story. So submit your story today at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Thanks.